fire. Doing it like that, yeah. Late night, doing it like that. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Tariq. Glad to have y'all tuning in. We're doing a late night broadcast tonight. I've been very busy this week handling a lot of business, but I'm here. I'm here for the family. I'm here with you. I'm here with you chopping it up, ladies and gentlemen, making it do what it do. I need y'all to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. I know some of you are still up right now, so retweet this, put this on your Facebook, let everybody know that I'm live right now, ladies and gentlemen. And while people are piling in the room right now, let me take a quick commercial break. So y'all don't move a muscle. We're going to have a nice conversation here tonight, and we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack, and the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
What's up, family? Check out a brand new book called The ABCs of New Orleans, written by the mother and son team, Karen and Brandon Blanchard. Together, they've collaborated their talents to write and illustrate a book about their beloved native city of New Orleans. So you can get the book right now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's called ABCs of New Orleans, and make sure that you get the one by Karen and Brandon Blanchard because there are other books with the same title. So, The ABCs of New Orleans, available on Amazon right now. Are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuses to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that covers topics like anime, video games, movies, and TV shows, and other topics that black nerds can relate to? Then you need to check out the podcast, The Swarthy Nerd, at swarthynerd.com. Join the host, the TV guru, and Yuki the Snowman every Tuesday on their mission to provide empowerment to black nerds everywhere. So that is swarthynerd.com. Swarthy is spelled SWARTHY, swarthynerd.com. Did you know that research has proven that deep focused creative writing can improve working memory, lower mental stress, and increase your creativity and bring about a general sense of well-balanced being? Check out deepwriting.live. That's a one-day interactive online seminar that teaches teens and adults through deep expressive writing how to move away from everyday confusion and frustrations that life throws your way so that you can be focused, vibrant, and on point. Go to deepwriting.live to enroll right now and learn more. Spots are very limited, so go right now, deepwriting.live. It's tax time again, so let the experts at Clark Pro Taxes make filing your taxes easy for you. They can prepare your taxes in person or virtually in all 50 states. Just snap a picture of your documents and leave the rest to them. Let Clark Pro Taxes prepare your personal or your business taxes. So get in touch with them right now at www.clarkprotaxes.com. Their calendars are open right now and they're pre-booking for the new tax season. That's clarkprotaxes.com, and follow them on Facebook at Clark Pro Taxes.
Join 60s.net, a forum built to discuss all things relevant to black people. On our forum, a check doesn't mean you're famous. It means your blackness has been verified by our staff.
Sorry, Chad.
We also have premium merchandise with same-day shipping on most orders. And when you're ready for some dope content, check out the Zero Hour blog.
Don't you sign up, post.
That's the number 60s
ashyourself.net.
Listen, are you ashy as hell? Do you have dry, parched skin? Does your elbows look like elephant knees? If so, you want to get your skin from crusty to lovely, go to ashkicking.com to get all the lotions, lubricants, and body butters that you need to get your skin in order. They got all types of health and beauty products, everything you need. They got incense, things to make your house smell good, things to make you smell good. So again, go to ashkicking.com. Again, that's ashkicking.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
You are now tuned in to the Godfather of the Game. Often imitated and always celebrated.
Stop sloganary. Sloganary kills people.
Hey yo, check this out. It's
Tariq Nasheed on Tariq Radio.
Let's go. Let's go.
Be my goddamn thumb alone.
Monkey. Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, on the Late Night Creep. Glad to have y'all in here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here. I'm your host. My name is Tariq Nasheed, but you all knew that, and this is Tariq Radio. Man, I'm glad to have y'all in here. A lot of stuff we're going to touch on. I won't be here too long because it's still late and I haven't slept. I've been handling a lot of business. Let me say this. I might have some news about the Hidden History Museum real soon. We got something. We got action. I'll say that. I don't want to say too much yet, but I'm saying that we got action right now. And we got action in our initial area. We got action on Crenshaw, surprisingly. I will say that. I'm knocking on wood over here. I'm knocking on wood. We got action on Crenshaw. You understand me? We got action. So we're just doing the paperwork stuff right now. We got action. I'm just letting y'all know that. I'm going to keep you guys posted in the next couple of weeks on where we are. I'm going to let y'all know what's going on, but we got action and it's looking good right now. It's looking very good right now. In our initial area, this thing is going to be fly. We're making it happen. Something opened up for us because for a while we were trying to get something on Crenshaw and it was just, we weren't getting no action. And we started looking in other places. We were looking in Hollywood, Mid-Wilshire. We're looking all over the place. We started looking in the valley and I'm like, I don't want to have it all the way out here. But if push comes to shove, you know, we're going to try to have it close to Crenshaw or at least somewhere near Hollywood, La Brea, somewhere. It was a place on La Brea that we were trying to get and they fronted on us. So, but this Crenshaw spot opened up at the last minute, right on time. So again, we're putting our pieces together for that and we're going to keep everybody posted on that. Now, when we get the museum, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. When we get the museum, I posted this earlier. Now, all of the tethers are going to have to come up with some new bad faith arguments. All right. Shout out that. Yes, I need, send me some of that FBA Aratasase energy. Send that so we can make this thing pop off. But now you're going to have a bunch of different bad faith arguments now, because again, all of the arguments about the museum, anything negative that's said, it's always from some non-FBA tether. The FBA family has been 100% supportive. The FBA family know what it is. The FBA family ain't tripping. Y'all know what it is. Y'all know we're going to get this thing popping. But all of the people trying to make little slick comments, trying to sabotage it, it's always the non-FBA crowd. Those jealous tethers. So now when we get the museum, look, the tethers are not going to go away. The tethers are going to come up with some new tether whining. So I'm telling y'all, the new excuses are going to be, hey, nigga, how come there's no parking over here, nigga? Hey, nigga, how come there's no food or cafeteria in the museum, nigga? Hey, nigga, how come the subway station don't run that late? Hey, nigga, how come the bathroom don't have towels? Hey, nigga, how come the temperature is so cold in here? So it's going to be a brand new bad faith argument. Hey, nigga, how come we don't get in for free? You got all that money. How come you don't let us in for free? We're going to hear all of that. So just get ready for the tether whining. Oh, they got to revamp. Once we get the museum, first they were yelling about we ain't going to get it. They're just projecting their own failure. And when we get it, which is going to be soon, now they got to change the tether whining. So they're going to find something to whine about and nitpick about. Hey, wait a minute. How come there's no people in here for the motherland? You're not the king of Africa. You know, they'll try to do me like Beyonce. When we try to pay homage to the culture in the diaspora, they tell us to kick rocks. They were mad at Beyonce when she did that that thing that was on Disney. I forgot the name of it, where she was just showing all types of respect for African culture. Like, who does she think she is? She's not the queen of Africa. She's not the queen of Africa. And what's the sister? Ari Lennox. I think that's her name. She went over there to Ghana. She was like, oh, I feel my ancestral energy. They start clowning her. Look at these nigga talking about ancestors. You nigga, please. Oh, they start clowning us. Dude, man. The tether whining is just off the chain. But listen, again, we're working this thing, man. We got action. I'm letting y'all know now. We got some real good action right now. There's a spot that we're working right now. We're getting all the paperwork together. The people who are selling it are being very cooperative, which is good, for a very good price. We got to do a lot of renovations on the inside, but not that much. I mean, we're doing a museum. So basically, we just got to clean a bunch of stuff out. So it's going to be fly, man. I'm very excited about it. I'm very, very excited about it, man. We're going to make this thing so fly for the family. You guys are going to love it. And I'm so glad that we got it in the area that I wanted it to be in initially. But anyway, I digress. I keep you guys posted on that. Shout out to my brother Beehi. I was on my brother Beehi's broadcast. He's down there in Atlanta on Hot 107. I did the interview a few weeks ago when I was in Atlanta, and they just put it up a couple of days ago. Shout out to Beehi. People love that interview. You guys can check that interview out right here on YouTube. Go to Beehi's channel, Beehi Atlanta. Beehi Atlanta. I like Beehi, and that's my brother. Me and Beehi, we vibe because Beehi is an Atlanta dude. Beehi reminds me of those Atlanta players I used to kick it with back in the 90s when I went down to Atlanta for the first time. Y'all got to understand, with Atlanta, the people who are there in Atlanta are way different from the people who are from Atlanta. There are two Atlantas, I'm telling y'all. Like, little girl, she did that song. Little cute girl, she did that song. That's not Atlanta. This not Atlanta. A lot of folks are in Atlanta, but they are not Atlanta. The people who are from Atlanta, for real, very different folks, man. There's a certain hospitality, that Southern hospitality, that FBA energy, man, is unmatched. I've never seen that type of grit. Well, I have. I've seen it in other places in the South, too, but not like Atlanta. That Southern hospitality, that down home from the root Atlanta energy is unmatched, man. Unmatched. Yeah, Beehi's, his interviews are thorough. because he has respect for the people he has on. So that's very important. When you have somebody on your broadcast and you have respect for what they do, the thing is going to go out fly. Yeah, Omerta, that's the young girl's name. Little cute girl. I love her song. They were bumping that down there, and they were clowning because she did the video somewhere in Gwinnett County or some shit, right? It wasn't in Atlanta. She was like, she's talking about she ain't from Atlanta. People ain't from Atlanta, but she was doing the video not in Atlanta, so people were kind of clowning. But that song is hot, though. And she's been around for a minute. She's been doing her thing. She can spit. Speaking of spitting, I was spitting on the Revolt TV news. That came on television today. If you guys have Revolt TV, some of you might have seen it. I think they're going to put it online. It should be somewhere online this weekend sometime. But I was on the Revolt News, on the Black News show. We were talking about gun ownership. So I want y'all to, if y'all can find that interview, that would be great. This is on Revolt TV. Shout out to Revolt TV. Shout out to Diddy. Shout out to everybody over there. Very good people over there. So, but let's talk about what we're going to talk about on tonight's broadcast. We're talking about how we are on our own as Black folks. We're in a system that has neglected us. We're in a system that will not produce justice for us. And we have to come to the realization that we are on our own. And we need to start acting like a group of people who are on our own. We need to start looking out for each other, getting codified. We need to start protecting ourselves. And we need to start creating economic basis for ourselves so that we can sustain ourselves. We got to go old school. We got to become our own strong community that we're supposed to be doing anyway. This system has completely neglected us. And I'm looking at a lot of stuff that's coming out now. There's stories about Black kids. I saw somebody sent me some earlier. It was a Black girl who got beat up or hit or assaulted by her white teacher. And they went to court, and the white teacher's lawyer knew the judge, and they just basically threw it out. And the Black folks were outside just, you know, all emotional and all up in arms and all of this stuff because the white woman was protected by the system of non-justice. The race soldier who killed Breonna Taylor, they just had a farcical trial for him where he was exonerated. And it wasn't even for shooting Breonna Taylor. He was charged for reckless endangerment for shooting in the neighbor's apartment. So that got thrown out and he's acquitted on that. So they're rubbing non-justice in our faces right now. Okay? We're on our own, family. We have to start acting like we're on our own, and we have to start producing justice. We have to produce justice. It's not in voting, especially when there's not going to be a Black agenda. We have to understand what politics are, ladies and gentlemen. As Chairman Mao said, which was adopted by many of the Black Panthers, we have to understand what politics really means. Politics is war without bloodshed. I want you to understand that concept. Politics is war without bloodshed, and war is politics with bloodshed. For example, what you see going on over there in Russia with the Ukraine and all of that right now, that's a political movement, but it's bloody. There's a lot of violence. The underlying theme of it is politics. Russia's trying to take back control of the Ukraine politically and bring that back into their political stratosphere. You know, there's some vitriol towards NATO and all of this stuff. So this is a political thing. But it's warfare and it's bloody. And politics is just another offshoot of warfare. We have to look at it like that. Other groups instinctively kind of understand that, because when they deal with politics, it's all about what they are getting. They're in competition with everybody else. They understand that. It's all about competition for resources, and other groups are trying to get resources for their group, and nobody complains. See, that's warfare. It's warfare without bloodshed. Notice when it comes to black people, the message is always equality, diversity, togetherness. We are one. We're the melting pot. Notice that message is only programmed towards black people. They don't go to Asian people talking about diversity and we're all one and equality. They go to Asians with a damn bag. They go to Asians saying to them, here's $6 billion, $10 billion, $18 billion for your grievances. They go to other groups with bags. They come to us with bags of pinto beans and bushels of collard greens. When it comes to us, it becomes festivities and partying. It becomes catfish nuggets and black-eyed peas. When it comes to us, it's shucking and jiving time. That's warfare, ladies and gentlemen. We don't even understand it. That's a form of warfare to subdue you, to seduce you with wine, women, men, and song, to make you feel and think that you're not in a war. These people wage war on us politically. We have to look at politics as warfare. And our political figures, when we don't demand tangibles for our vote, they look at that as a warfare win. They know that they're winning the war against us. The war is psychological. But family, we have to reverse that. We got to be very disciplined out here. Because when we go up here and deal with these politicians and all they can do is do the electric slide and we're good to go, they've conquered us in war. They're psychologically conquering a lot of us. And they'll sit up here and brag about how black people got them in office, but when they give speeches and give tangibles and give out certain things, when they start divvying out the goods and the tax dollars, they leave us out and they don't even mention us. Family, did y'all see the State of the Union, the Joe Biden speech? Now, they know, the politicians know, everybody is fully aware that law enforcement in this country is completely infiltrated by card-carrying white supremacists. They know this, and I want y'all to understand, the dominant society doesn't care. Black folks, I want y'all to get this in your heads. The dominant society, they are fully aware that white supremacist extremist groups have completely infiltrated law enforcement all around the country, and the dominant society is okay with that. We are on our own. See, we keep trying to take our grievances to somebody in the dominant society who's going to do something, and all they're going to do is play dumb. We keep trying to tell somebody how bad we're treated. We keep trying to tell people, hey, look at this. Here's proof that this person's a white supremacist. Well, we'll look into it and investigate. And all they do is transfer that person. We're on our own. These folks are on code with each other, and we're on our own. And you know what? That's okay. That is okay. We have to act like we're on our own. But I'm going to play a clip of Biden talking about funding the police, and look at how the Democrats and the Republicans were all applauding that. See, this is warfare. I want y'all to listen to this. This is them. Biden up there with Kamala at Biden's State of the Union speech. And I want y'all to listen to this. Listen to the applause. Listen to all the applause. Hold on.
We should all agree the answer is not to defund the police.
That's right.
is to fund the police. Fund them with resources and training. Resources and training they need to protect our communities. I ask Democrats and Republicans alike to pass my budget and keep our neighborhoods safe.
So yeah, they're doing all that applauding. Now they're applauding like that, the Democrats and the Republicans. That's one thing they can agree on. Why are they so happy about funding the police? Why are they so happy? The police don't stop crime. The police, they don't stop crime. They don't really help their communities at all. But what they do, they keep us subjugated. They keep black folks subjugated. And the white supremacist society, they get a psychic benefit from that. Just knowing that there's a group of people who are getting kicked around unjustly. That's really what it boils down to. That's warfare against us, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about fund them with resources and training. We're the Biden sexuals. And they haven't said anything about doing anything tangible for us. And this is your girl, Kamala. She put this tweet up today. Let's send the Equality Act to President Biden's desk. We must increase protections for LGBT plus Americans across the country. The onslaught of state bills targeting transgender Americans and their families is wrong. Where are the Biden sexuals and the Kamamis out there? This is warfare. Nothing about the black families that's being targeted by these race soldiers and white supremacist vigilantes. There was a black girl in Ohio the other day who got socked in the face by a white supremacist member of the Proud Boys. Black folks are getting attacked left and right by state-sponsored white supremacists and vigilante white supremacists. They won't say nothing for us. When it comes to us, well, y'all know Kamala Harris's get down. Hold on. Y'all know her get down. Hold on.
Really be clear about that. So I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to do something that's only going to benefit black people. No. Really be clear about that. So I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to do something that's only going to benefit black people. No.
So that's your girl right there.
Really be clear about that.
That's your girl, Kamami Harris, right there. They told us what the hell they're not going to do for us. And yeah, let's be clear, because there's a lot of black LGBT people who think that means them too. No, that don't mean you, brother or sister, girl, or whatever you want to call yourself. That don't mean you. And you know it. You know all of those resources go to white LGBT organizations and y'all don't see none of it. All of those resources from those LGBT set-asides that go to white LGBT organizations. The black ones don't get nothing. You get to be the mascot for the white organizations. That's it. That's warfare, ladies and gentlemen. Politics is warfare. But Kamami, she even kind of went a step further. Did y'all see the speech where she did? Where basically she was like, yeah, she sounded drunk. It was one speech she did, and she sounded like she was on that Patron. Where is that? Yeah, this right here. Listen to this. She sounded like she was off that hurricane. But listen to this. This is very interesting what she said. Listen to this. Hold on. Very interesting. Hold on. Whoa.
Since we don't know, elections matter.
Okay. Did y'all hear what this woman just said? Now, she sounds drunk. She sounds very drunk. She's like, yeah, elections matter. And when you vote, you get what you vote for. You get what you pay for. and she gave that smug look. Yeah, elections matter. So she's telling y'all, look, if you guys are unsatisfied with how we're treating you Negroes, well, you voted for us, you see? That's their go-to excuse. This is why you cannot support systems that are oppressing you so blatantly without giving you any type of tangibles. That is the danger. They're rubbing it in your face right now. That's them rubbing it in your face. She's letting y'all know. She got a little drunk and then the truth slipped out a little bit. Yeah, I know. I hear y'all complaining about me, but you got what you voted for. I didn't promise y'all nothing. I told you I wasn't going to do nothing for you blacks. Didn't I tell you? I told you what the hell I ain't going to do for you. And you voted for me anyway, so you get what you vote for. And she's right. And she's right. Ignorant Negroes who sat up here tap dancing for butter beans and catfish nuggets in exchange for your vote. Politics is warfare. You have to go in there with a warfare mentality. We can't be playing games like this with these folks. This game is real out here, ladies and gentlemen. It is very real out here. But listen, a lot of times, people, when you're in situations where you don't think you're going to get any justice, they have to get you on the systematic treadmill because they understand that people who don't participate in the system will ultimately start looking for solutions to protect themselves. You understand? People are going to be looking for that. This is why it's imperative that they get us to support the system when they know that they're not going to do anything for us. They got to keep dangling the carrot of hope. They got to keep making jive, empty promises to keep us on the treadmill because they understand it's very dangerous for us to get off that treadmill. You understand? Because see, they see us as basically the low-hanging fruit and we're easy pickings because we have a lot of black folks who don't realize that we're on our own. We think that there's going to be some liberal white person or some liberal Democrat or somebody who's going to come to our rescue and we're on our own. They look at us as low-hanging fruit. And speaking of low-hanging fruit, there's a movie premiere, Low-Hanging Fruit, that's going to go down out there in New Orleans at the World War II Museum, April 16th, 2022 at 8:15. Go to eventbrite.com and type in low-hanging fruit to get more information and tickets for that event, ladies and gentlemen. But like I said, we are looked at as easy pickings, low-hanging fruit. We got to stop being the damn low-hanging fruit. We're low-hanging fruit because we're laying on the ground waiting on somebody to help us. We have to help ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We have to help ourselves. And the white supremacists are getting sloppy all over the world. They're getting sloppy. Now, let's be clear. We got to watch out with what's going over here in the Ukraine, because pretty soon they're going to start sending some of those Ukrainian white supremacists over here. That's why a lot of support for the Ukraine is kind of funny style. They're trying to get us on that support the Ukraine nonsense, because a lot of black folks are finding out about all of these damn white supremacists over there in the Ukraine and Poland. Not only the Ukraine, but even they at the border of the Ukraine over there and Poland, they're smacking black folks up left and right. Let me show. This is a clip of a brother, an African brother over there. He got to Poland and they start beating him up. This is over in Poland. He's a refugee at a military base up there and they roughing him up, those white supremacists over there. So they're doing the most. And the white mainstream media over here, they're trying their best to cover a lot of this stuff up. But, you know, the power of social media, people are posting things. And, you know, for a long time, people like to sit up and say, well, certain parts of Europe, it's not really racist. The hell it ain't. The problem is you didn't have enough black folks to be racist to. The black people who came to those places like Poland and the Ukraine and all of those other places, they come in very controlled numbers. And you didn't have an opportunity to see the white supremacists show their colors. See, they got to have somebody to practice white supremacy on. Now that there are a lot of black people, because of this emergency situation crossing the border, you see how the racism just comes on out real natural? You see how easy the racism comes out? The racism comes right on out. And you can tell by them, we already know. You look at them soccer games, how they be acting over there in Europe, how they act towards black players. But yeah, these are some racist ass folks. They racist as hell. They're in Europe, man. These are the OGs of racism. Don't think for a minute, just because you go over there as a tourist and some people are nice to you, that they're not racist. It's just not enough for you to be racist towards, and they know that you're a visitor. They know that you're going to be bouncing soon. But yeah, they're showing their real colors out there. There's a big white supremacist group out there. What's that group called? It's y'all Google Azov, A-Z-O-V. It's a big time white supremacist group out there. So yeah, they got some OG white supremacist groups out there, heavy. So just get ready for them white supremacist Ukrainians, those refugees, to come out here to get some of our tax dollars while we're sitting up here dancing for hush puppies and catfish nuggets. We got to get serious and understand warfare. But a lot of old black folks are still trying to get us on that treadmill. I saw some old Negroes still trying to cape for Biden, because people have been complaining that he did that State of the Union speech and Biden didn't even mention anything about helping black people or nothing. And you had some of the old elderly Biden sexuals all on Twitter. Man, what y'all talking about? Man, black people use clean roads. Black people use Medicare. Black people use it. Oh, excuse me, shit. I'm sneezing. But yeah, they were doing that old Biden is going to lift all boats. And we're part of the lifted boats. They try to play that game. Excuse me. Yeah, they tried to play that whole, we're all in this together. We're going to get secondary benefits for the things that Biden and his administration do for everybody. Now, we're not playing that game. We're not playing that game at all. We are not playing that game. And again, what we're seeing now, we're seeing more and more race soldiers within law enforcement just get a green light to just slaughter us with impunity. And did y'all see what happened up there in Milwaukee? There was a situation where a brother got locked up, a young brother, he's 23 years old, and he died in police custody. They did whatever to him. And his homeboy ran up in that police station bussing. And his homeboy got shot, but he didn't die. His homeboy, he's still alive. He's you know, they arrested him. Let me show y'all the story on that. This was in Milwaukee. This was in Milwaukee this week. Let me show y'all the news story on that. Hold on one second. Where's that story? Right here. Okay, let me show y'all the news story on that. This is very interesting. This is in Milwaukee. All right, let me show y'all this real quick. Hold on one second.
Idea why he would have brought a gun right here to District 5, but they say he was in a bad place mentally after his friend died right here at District 5 in police custody, and it's why this group is out here tonight. It's a terrifying image. The moment a gunman walked into Milwaukee Police District 5 Friday and opened fire on officers. 12 News obtained a still image of the 23-year-old man who took aim.
What's it like to look at that picture?
It makes me angry at him.
Family of Darion Parker Bell have identified him as the suspected shooter.
He was struggling. Yeah, he was. He just had a mental breakdown.
Parker Bell's girlfriend, Angel Harrell, didn't want her face shown, but tells 12 News her boyfriend was struggling with the death of his best friend, Keyshawn Thomas. The 20-year-old died inside the police station just 2 days earlier.
He had a mental breakdown.
Did you talk to him Friday?
Yeah, I did.
What did he say?
He was normal. He very good at hiding his emotions.
After the shooting, the gunman took off running and officers chased him, eventually shooting him. None of the 7 officers involved were hurt. West Dallas police are leading the investigation. They say the gunman remains in the hospital and has not yet been formally charged. Have you talked to him?
No, not yet.
His girlfriend nor family have been able to speak with Parker Bell. 12 News has learned in 2019, Parker Bell fired a gun through an apartment wall, hitting an 8-year-old neighbor in the stomach. A judge sentenced him to 40 days in the House of Correction. Did he ever talk about doing anything to get back at police?
No, definitely not.
Hillary Parker.
Okay. And let me show you. Yeah, and see how slick they are. They're making sure to get all his relatives and friends and family on the news. You know, they're trying to put their faces out there, trying to be slick. Yeah, they're trying to be slick by doing that. Yeah, the news. Let me tell you, the news does little slick stuff like that to further try to put a target on your back. Like when my house got raided. Boy, they made sure to get every angle of my house. They were all in front of the housing complex, showing the name of it. Further trying to put a target on my ass. You understand? But folks are like, you know, when folks feel like they're being boxed in a corner, they're like, well, damn. It's very interesting, man. Very interesting. But again, we're on our own. People are like, you know, people feel like they have to just take everything in their own hands. And that's very unfortunate that folks, it comes to this point when you have such a system of injustice. But Foundational Black Americans Family, we've always said, hey, it's up to us. We got to look out for ourselves. This is a historic thing. Somebody put up a post about a very, very prominent Foundational Black American sister. Have y'all heard about Aunt Polly? Aunt Polly Jackson. This was a sister during slavery. She was free during slavery. She got free. She was up there in Ohio. They had a place called Africa, Ohio. Where a lot of free blacks were living up there. And that was one of the stops on the northern part of the Underground Railroad. Understand, there were 2 Underground Railroads, one to the north and one to Florida. Okay? People always talk about the Northern Underground Railroad because there were white people who were helping out with that. The white church, there were white abolitionists helping out with the Northern Underground Railroad. But they never talk about the Underground Railroad that went south, because that was all black. Black people were controlling that, and that was more successful because they were killing a whole bunch of white supremacists in the process. Down there in Florida, they were giving the white supremacists the damn business. But there was a sister during slavery, Sister Polly Jackson. They called her Aunt Polly. And this sister was a for real rider. This sister knew that there were some white supremacists. And let me show a picture of Aunt Polly Jackson. This is that FBA spirit here. This is Aunt Polly Jackson right here. And the look on her face shows you that this is a sister who meant business. Aunt Polly Jackson, a very key figure on the Underground Railroad. See, they talk about Harriet Tubman, but they leave a lot of folks out. This sister right here would carry a butcher knife with her and a kettle of boiling water. She would hide it, and she would kind of dress up as an older, more feeble woman and kind of run up on white supremacists, because what would happen is there was a reverse Underground Railroad. There were white people who fronted like they were trying to help runaway black people. And then they would get them somewhere and then resell them back into slavery. You had a lot of that going on. You had a lot of the reverse Underground Railroad action going on. Because like I said, a lot of white people were helping black people on the Underground Railroad. So all you needed to have was a white supremacist sitting up here acting like he was liberal and acting like he was down. And he like, hey, come on. Come on, Josephus. I'm going to have you hide out in my barn, and we're going to take the riverboat up to Canada for you. And then you get the black folks somewhere in a barn, and then all of a sudden you shackle them up, and then you sell them. So she knew that was going down. So what she would do, she would go to some of those underground railroad routes with her knife and start chopping their asses up and dousing their ass with that hot water to run them off the damn block. She would fight them bounty hunters off and get to slicing and dicing that ass. You understand? They don't talk about that. They don't like to talk about the ones that was bringing it to them white supremacist ass. Because they knew, wasn't nobody going to help them. Our foundation of Black American family members knew, we ain't got nobody that's going to really look out for us. We can't even depend on the white abolitionists like that, because it could be a trick. It could be somebody who's trying to run a game. So look, I'm going to just go out here with this knife and this boiling water and just make something happen. I'm going to make some boiled honky or something. She was out there scalding their asses. Yeah. But we understood, ladies and gentlemen, that we are we got. We are on our own. And when we get that understanding, we do better. When we understand that we're on our own, we do better. And we can handle the things that come our way. We got to get the fear out of our system, see? We just got to get back codified. We just got to get back on code. Like we were really during the Jim Crow era. We got off code because we had a bunch of people come among us who wasn't on code with us. We got a lot of people coming in from other parts of the world coming among us who were not on code. That's why we couldn't get any boycotts and the stuff that we did during the Jim Crow era. We can't get that popping like we used to because we got way too many off code people. But we have to understand the dynamic of us being all we got and us having to look out for each other. Because we got some white supremacists out here who are really on the move. These white supremacists are openly speaking about their white supremacist views. I want to play a clip from my Twitter space broadcast the other night. And it was a card-carrying white supremacist who called up. And I want y'all to hear the dialogue between me and this guy. He was a student of Jared Taylor. So I want y'all to kind of hear the exchange of these people. And this is why it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that black folks know your history. It's up to us to know our history so we can counter and rebuttal these people effectively. So we don't believe the gibberish and the lies they throw our way. So that we can quickly shut them down. And let me show you, when you start shutting them down real quickly, in a smooth, calm way, they start trying to run. But listen to this real quickly. Let me play a clip of me talking with this white supremacist. And listen to how he'll say something and then he'll try to run and then I catch him. But listen, it's real brief. Listen.
I debunked a lot of the stuff that he said about IQ. Now, what's your take on? How do you feel about Jared Taylor?
Well, I like him. I am a paleo conservative myself. I'm a big fan of his and John Derbyshire.
That's another thing. Watch these little words that they say, paleo conservative. Watch these words, because they don't like to use the words white supremacist no more. They know that that word is toxic. That term is toxic. So look out for paleo conservative. Look out for some of these weird little terms that you hear these suspected white supremacists spew. Okay. If it's a weird sounding term, just suspect that it's a white supremacist. That's just the simple bet. If they give you some kind of weird term about their political ideology, just suspect that it's a white supremacist. That's the best bet, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get all off into that conservative paleo, whatever. Hold on.
The whole Be Dare and American Renaissance.
Okay, so do you believe in the IQ, the whole bell curve thing, that black people are inherently inherent low IQs and all that stuff?
Well, I believe that whites have lower IQs than East Asians and Ashkenazi Jews.
Okay.
I think there's a spectrum there, but I wanted to ask, are you going to debate him again, or do you plan on debating any of the other race realists in his group?
That's
okay. I'm breaking some of this stuff down. Okay. Now notice the race realist. That's another term. Look at those terms. Paleoconservative, race realist. Look out for those terms. These are new code words for white supremacists. Yeah, he's playing the sophisticated white supremacists. You got to watch these guys, guys. Family, you got to watch these. These are these very refined white supremacists. They're very slick. They'll sit here and be very friendly with you. And notice how he worded it when I said, do you think black people have low IQs? Which they do. Their whole ideology is that black people have low IQs. But notice how slick he worded it. Well, I think that white people have lower IQs than Asians, which that's another talking point. That's another slick talking point to make it seem like, well, we're inferior to Asians, which is horse poop, because they know they can dominate any Asian country anytime they want to. But they use that to justify saying, well, black people's IQs are lower than everybody's. You see, watch the talking points. You better catch on. And I caught him on that, and I kind of brought it back to him. And notice how he tries to change the subject very quickly. You got to watch out for these guys. These refined white supremacists are something else. But listen, hold on.
Let's deal with you right now. Let's talk with you, since you kind of represent that. You said that you believe that whites have lower IQs than Jews and Asians, but do black people have lower IQs than all of them, according to your ideology, sir?
No, I think Australian Aboriginals are lower than Africans, and I think that African Americans are higher than just pure Africans.
Okay. Now, with Jared Taylor and him and other white supremacists or race realists, I'll be respectful in that sense, they also said something to the effect of there's some type of gene that makes black people more violent. Is that something you subscribe to?
I don't think it's a particular gene. I think it's a subset of a genetic code that would influence someone's temperament.
Listen to this stuff. Listen to it. Listen. Listen to the word salad. Listen to the word salad that they spew. Hold on.
What's that subset?
Well, I couldn't name it in particularly, but...
But just a general sense of where would this subset come and be placed into black people? How would black people get that subset?
Well, it's not that it's placed there. It has to do with evolution.
Oh, okay. So how did we evolve into having that? What made us evolve into having a violent natural disposition?
Well, it's just the selective pressures of your environment over time.
Like what?
Like what? Well, being closer to the equator, and having selective pressures in that environment as opposed to someone who had pressures in a region that was colder. That's just a general example. Look, I'm not a scientist.
Okay. Catch that. Okay. Now, he spewed out that scientific horse poop and then tried to quickly change the subject. Yeah, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say what I feel, and then I'm going to quickly change the subject because I know you're going to try to debunk me, which he knew I was going to go there. Those are white supremacist talking points. They sit up in these little white supremacist meetings and they come up with these jive, pseudo-babble talking points. That's horse pucky, what he said. And he knew it. I want y'all to understand. He knows that pseudo-history horse pucky. He knows that. All right? But they're so used to spewing that stuff among each other. And he knows I'm going to catch him on it. That's why he quickly tried to change the subject. All right. I stayed in question mode on him and he quickly tried to change the subject. Hold on.
How did we evolve into having that? What made us evolve into having a violent natural disposition?
Well, it's just the selective pressures of your environment over time.
Like what?
Like what? Well, being closer to the equator, and having selective pressures in that environment, as opposed to someone who had pressures in a region that was colder. That's just a general example. Look, I'm not a scientist, but I have cursory knowledge of this.
But wouldn't there be more pressure in a colder environment that would foster a violent temperament, more so than a tropical environment like the equator, where everything is in abundance? There would be no need to be violent in an equator tropical environment where you can get natural resources, food and vegetables and everything right there at your disposal. Whereas if you're in a cold environment, everything is hostile. The food is not plentiful, so there's competition, so you have to kill your competition, so a more violent temperament will emerge from a colder environment, right?
Well, the theory goes that you need more cooperation to survive in a colder environment. You can be more autonomous and independent as an individual, as a human, in a warmer environment. In a colder one, you would need more cooperation, so you'd have to have a temperament and a comportment that would get along with your fellow man in that region.
Man, please. Man, please. Now, he knows what he just said was garbage. Being in a cold, hostile environment makes the individual more cold and hostile. People, listen, people are reflections of their environment. Whatever your environment is, you're going to reflect that. You are a reflection of your environment. People in tropical, warm environments where there's plentiful, where there's things in abundance, there is no need for violence because everything that you need is there. There is no need to knock somebody on the head. There's no need to rob somebody. There's no need to just kill people willy-nilly. You have everything you need. And you can focus on more sociable activities, fun, games, family structure. You can focus on things or different creative things within a tropical, warm, plentiful environment. This is why in ancient Kemet, all of the art and the architecture, everything was beautiful. Everything was built big and everything was fly because they had abundance. So they had everything they needed to eat. So now they can sit down and come up with music and art and different languages. You can come up with different things. In the ice, you have to eat every day and you better kill your competition. You become violent. So see how they try to remix history? He made zero sense and he knew it. That's why he tried to change the subject. In a frostbitten environment, where you're freezing to death, your babies are freezing, and every minute, man, you gotta find a way to survive, and every little morsel of food is life or death, man, that turns you into something, dude. He knows that. So we have to check them when they start talking about inherent violence and really hit them with their own damn history. Don't let them get away with that. Hit them with their history. Let me play the rest of this. Hold on.
That's the theory.
But the thing is, but based on the reality in Europe, we're going back into your home country, man. It was extremely violent. The Neanderthals and those people living in those caves, and they were getting into cannibalism crazy up there. So it was very violent if you look at it from a historic standpoint, sir.
Well, I guess you'd have to take a whole timeline and just measure the carnage and the history and events, put them side by side and have it borne out who was more violent. But aside from that,
you can't go by that. Now, if we're going to go side by side about who's more violent, nobody in recorded history is more violent than white supremacists, sir. Can you name who's more violent than white supremacists?
But, Terry, couldn't you just look at the crime statistics?
Crime statistics where, sir?
Here in the United States.
Okay. What about them?
Well, if you compare non-white violence to violent acts to white criminality, you'll see per capita that non-whites commit more violent crime?
No. What happens is, in a system of white supremacy, white people get a certain level of immunity from law, meaning they don't get punished the same way black people do. This is why you have a Kyle Rittenhouse and a Zimmerman and other white supremacist suspects who go out here and kill people, and they get slaps on the wrists.
Okay, I think this would get tedious if we just keep circling back. This is a war of attrition that I'm not going to win. I don't have any interest in winning. But I did want to ask you this, Tariq.
We're just talking facts, sir. That's all.
I hear you.
So he wants to get out of there.
Point taken. As a black business owner.
Okay, then he starts just asking goofy questions. Okay. But yeah. So when you start hammering down on them and get in question mode and really hit them with their own history. When they start talking about some damn Chicago, these are just jive talking points that can be easily debunked. And he knows that. Yeah, you can't compare Chicago with all of the violent genocide that the white supremacists, that they've committed throughout history and in modern times, and that they're committing now. They're over there in Europe right now, bombing each other right now. You can't compare no Chicago. But these people are very interesting. These people are very, very interesting with their rhetoric. That's why you got to be on top of your game with these folks. You really got to be on top of your game with them. So we got to be very serious out here. Just like I said, man, look, we're on our own. These people, we got open. These white supremacists are getting more open about their white supremacist views. They're getting more open about it. These people are circling their wagons right now. And family, we got to watch what we do in the political arena. Because like I said, if we're not getting tangibles, we're out here playing games. We should not support the system that will not do anything for us. We can't get on this black face in a high place, this whole thing where they want to get a whole bunch of black folks and we're supposed to get some type of proxy satisfaction with a black person in a certain position who ain't going to do nothing for us. And speaking of black folks in certain positions, family, Chicago, where's Chicago? Chicago, do I have any Chicago people in the room? Where are my Chicago people? Where are my Chicago people? If you're in Chicago, raise your hand. I know it's late out there right now, but my Chicago people, y'all ride heavy. Let me say my heart goes out to you, Chicago, my black Chicago people. Because family, did y'all see the story about Uncle Mammy? Did y'all see the story about Uncle Lori Lightfoot, family? I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. This is a real story about Lori Lightfoot. They called her and they got some emails on her. They done found some information where she was talking badly about some folks or whatever. It was something going on behind the scenes. And this is what Uncle Mammy said. Uncle Mammy, Lori Lightfoot said, "I have the biggest dick in Chicago. Family, I'm not making this up." Here's another story. Mayor Lightfoot bragged about having the biggest dick in a bizarre Zoom rant. So she was on Zoom talking about her strap-on, how big her strap-on is, basically. She don't have a real Johnson. So she was bragging about her strap-on. Okay? This is Chicago. This is the mayor out there, family. This is what you got out here. Uncle Strappy is going full power stud on y'all. Family. Lord, Uncle Mammy is out here with penis envy, bragging about how much junk she got in her pants. It's a damn mess out here. This is what we got, family. This is our political representation. Uncle Mammy is out here bragging about her strap-on. This is our political representation, family. This is warfare. We're in a whole new damn universe right now with foolery. I'm so sick of this nonsense that's put on black culture, this nonsense right here. I'm tired of it. We got silliness going on. See, when we ask for tangibles, they give us silly nonsense. We're going to give you black representation, wink, wink. And they know that some of these people are degenerates. They know that Uncle Mammy is a degenerate. They know that with her little chopper suit. They know that. They know the Andrew Gillums and all. They know that these dudes got hankerings for Boochie Cat and they're going to be in a room strung out with their bussy in the air. They know that. That's why they throw them at us and tell us that these are our representatives. They bring these folks out and then tell us that they are our representatives. This is Uncle Mammy in her chopper suit, running around in these ill-fitting chopper suits. Hold on. This is Uncle Mammy cutting a jig. Hold on. This is Uncle Mammy. This is what we get right here. With her chopper linen suit on and her Skechers. Up there doing a new dance called Throw That Dick. This is what we get. Just nonsense. Good Lord. Oh, politics is warfare, family. Politics is warfare. We have to look at it and we have to think militaristically when we are going into the political arena trying to get our tangibles. We have to be on some things where it's all about us. We ain't on no kumbaya. We're not trying to dance and do the electric slide. We're trying to get something for our foundational Black American group, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning in on this late night broadcast. I know it's very late out there on the East Coast, but shout out to y'all for hanging in there with us. Go to arutasussy.com. Remember, we're celebrating the first Foundational Black American holiday this year in December. Arutasussy.com will give you more information about that. And we're going to keep you guys posted on where we are with the Hidden History Museum. Like I said, we got some action. We're putting some things together. We're very close to getting the property. I'm going to keep you guys posted on that. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com. Go to buckbreakingmovie.com. Go to officialfba.com, ladies and gentlemen, and y'all have a great night.